This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Liz.
And we host the Mom Deconstructed podcast. We interview moms to find out the real story of their mothering journey. Motherhood is the most difficult job there is, but unless we allow ourselves to create community and accept the help of others, it can be a very lonely endeavor.
Let's get beyond the superficial, delve into the dreams that inspire us, the struggles that test us, and the conversations that connect us. You can listen to Mom Deconstructed anywhere you get your podcasts, from the Parents on Demand Network and at momdeconstructed.com.
Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. We're so excited to have you here. Today is birth story day. You know what it's about. So we're going to get into some really cool stuff. Before we do that, just a couple of reminders and notes and things for you to be aware of. First of all, where you're listening to the podcast, you can be listening in the Parents on Demand app. Parents on Demand is the network that we are a part of. You can download the app on your iPhone or your Android device. You could also go to parentsondemand.com to check us out there, as well as all the other amazing shows that we get to be a part of this network with. So go there for all of your conversations, resources from preconception, pregnancy, birth, parenting, beyond. It's all there for you. So go there, check that out. Also, how you can connect with us. We appreciate all of your likes, subscribes, comments, reviews. Whether you drop us a rating or a review in iTunes, thank you so much. Or Apple Podcasts, I guess it's called now. Your messages on Instagram, DIAH Podcast, or going to our website, DIAHpodcast.com, and checking out whatever we've got going on there. All the things like our shop, where you can buy your Doing It at Home gear, your Have Babies Where You Make Them shirt, your Let's Talk Home Birth shirt, and not just shirt, tank. It's warming up in most parts of the world right now, a lot of parts of the world. Your sweatshirt or hoodie, if it's getting colder in your part of the world, we got you covered. So go there and check out the shop. All those links to everything I basically just said, including our social media and our private Facebook page, are in the show notes. So go there, see those links, and you can get popping. Whatever interests you, you can go check all of that out there. Okay, today's birth story. Hold on to your hats, because it is quite the ride and it's really magical and really awesome. We're talking to Linnea Krall about a lot, including her birth story. So she and her husband Daniel were experiencing infertility, and they went through that challenge for quite a while. And Linnea herself is a RN turned doula. So she is all about empowering birth conversation and is in the world of birth work. So moving through that infertility process, they learned that basically to get pregnant and have biological children was medically impossible. And that term was actually used, medically impossible. So they had planned on fostering children at some point in their family planning as well. So they moved up that timeline and fostered two beautiful little girls, Winnie and Lissa, and a month and a half later, got pregnant, found out they were pregnant. So already you are like, what? Where is this going? It's so amazing. So we talk about why home birth came into the scene for them, what reasons went into them deciding on home birth, as well as some of the surprises that came up in birthing time and what it's like to go from a family of two to a family of five in essentially less than a year. So it's incredible and I know you're going to love it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Linnea. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We are awesome.
Yeah, because we're talking to you.
Yeah. We're excited to be here. Definitely love love everything we know so far about you and your birth story. And so we're just excited to really dig into all of it.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah. So why don't you set the scene for us and share with us your family and where you live and what you're up to?
Sure. Well, I am Linnea and I am married to Daniel. We have been married for almost 8 years. And we live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is pretty much Amish country, but we live in a little city, really artsy, cool little city right inside, of all of that Amish land. And we have three beautiful children, two daughters, through foster care. And then a biological son, and our daughters are Winnie and Lissa, and then Lewis is our son, and he's just about 11 months old. So yeah, we are, my husband's a pastor, and we just kind of live a very fun, flexible life, around here. And I'm a doula, by trade, well, a nurse by trade actually first. And then, I left that to raise our babies and I'm also a doula. So yeah. We have a lot of fun.
That's amazing. Yeah, full house, a lot of things going on. I love how very service-minded and oriented as well. It sounds like you are important in your communities, and I'm sure people are grateful to have you all up there in Lancaster.
Yeah, we love it here. And yeah, we love, I mean, most people, honestly, that's the thing. Like, we stepped out and kind of did these really crazy things, and we could not do it without our village. Like, they are... just, we just feel really loved and surrounded. So like for those who don't actually, you know, make those big jumps, like there's still so many things that people can do and how they can help. And we've just been so blessed by so many people. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Wow. So would you share with us a little bit of, you know, it's been a journey, right, to where you are now, and some of it whirlwind, you know, that we'll get into. But, you know, you and Daniel had some challenges, some struggles with fertility. And would you mind just sharing a little bit of that and what that, you know, impact has been for you, you know, both of you, and then, you know, to where you are now?
Sure, sure. Yeah, so we got married always wanting children. We didn't want them right away. Like, we were great just having a bit of our own time. Mm-hmm. And so I think about maybe 3 or 4 years into our marriage, we decided that we were ready to begin our family. And so we started trying and you know, kind of figured that it would, like anyone else, happen very quickly. Where we live here in Lancaster, it's very like everybody just pops out babies all the time. And so it is like big families are the norm. And it's, you know, you start out really young. And so it's just very much a thing that we just took for granted. We did not expect it to be an issue. We always wanted to adopt and we always wanted to have foster kids, but we anticipated it being, you know, someday when our biological children were older, and we could do that as a family. We didn't expect it to be, kind of in the order that it ended up happening. But yeah, so we started trying and, I was already a doula at that time, really in love with birth. And so, you know, I jumped way ahead and was hoping, you know, was already planning births and was already like, just ready to be a mom. And, it wasn't happening. And so that was really, really hard. And I had irregular cycles and things like that. So it was a bit unpredictable, in our efforts to try, and that made it a bit challenging. But we waited about a year to get evaluated. We had heard that, you know, a year is when you kind of, after that, it's not normative anymore that, that it's not working. Mm-hmm. And so at around a year, we went and saw our doctor, who's incredible. And she was like, okay, let's run the, you know, the gamut of tests. And first she actually wanted to test my husband because that's cheaper and quicker and, you know, easier if it is that issue. And it in fact was, we ended up finding out that he had male factor infertility and, that there were no sperm at all. So, zero. And so it wasn't like they just weren't moving enough. It wasn't like they weren't fast enough. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't, really a whole lot that you could improve on. We were pretty much told that it was impossible. Our doctor said that she had never seen, a zero sperm count. And so it was just, we were told something that was genetic from birth and that he couldn't have fixed it if he tried. And so it was just one of those things where we were heartbroken. And it was just really, really, really devastating. And so, we are people of faith. And so we, had people pray with us, about it. And then we also took a lot of natural steps to see what we could do. You know, we felt like that was not the end of the road for us for biological children, but we, you know, we just didn't know. And so we went to acupuncturists and we went on the Weston A. Price diet, and we did all the things. And then, you know, after just intensely praying for a while, we felt, prompted to end up beginning the foster care process instead. So we decided that we were just going to not stop trying, but that we were just going to move a different direction. And, so we ended up beginning the process to become foster parents. We were really excited and, you know, it's a lot of unknown. And that is a very kind of just putting your hands out there and saying like, whatever happens is, you know, like we didn't know how many children we would get. We did not know, you know, if we would get a baby. I've always been in love with babies. And so it was like just this weird thing to wrap your mind around. And, but we felt we were really on the same page about it. And so, you know, we just actively started pursuing that. And it takes about 6 months or so to get your licensing and all the paperwork together and everything for them to determine that you're a safe family. Mm-hmm. And we did that. And my husband started a new job. And then a week after he started his new job, we got a phone call for two sweet little girls. At the time, they would have been 3 and 1. And essentially they said, could you be here at the caseworker's office in an hour? And we didn't have a reason to say no. And so we said yes. And called our friends and they went to our house and set up beds and set up cribs and set up like all got us clothes and all of the things that we could need for the girls. And we went and we picked them up and we met them and we said hi and we took them to Chick-fil-A and we like just stared at each other and we're like, what is going on here? You know? Oh, and
that's amazing.
We had no, It's really crazy. It's really crazy. So my husband almost passed out walking into the courthouse because he was like, this is massive, you know, like this is just wild. And ended up there just the most incredible, incredible girls. And, you know, when you get that call, you don't know if they are going to be a permanent part of your family forever or if they're going to be there for 2 weeks. You have no idea. And so we just said yes, and that was kind of it. And 2 years later, they are still a part of our family. They're still in foster care technically, but we are moving towards adopting them. But yeah, so we just kind of stared at each other all night long that night and just tried to get to know them and learn their stories. And they barely spoke any words, and it was just really wild. So that was that. And
to summarize in a sentence. Wow. But then you got a curveball, right?
Right. So about a month later, a month and a half later, I hadn't gotten a period for like 8 days. And that wasn't particularly new for me. But my husband was like, you probably should just check, like take a pregnancy test, whatever. So I took the test and I went and changed a poopy diaper. And then I went back to check the test, totally expecting it to be negative, like a million before. And it was positive.
Oh,
and I like freaked out.
Oh,
and I was home alone, and I mean, with the girls, but he was at work, and I called him. And you know, when you have infertility, you kind of still hope that, you know, you overplan. So like you plan how you're going to tell each other and you plan how you're going to tell your families and all of that. Well, that all went out the water. And I just called him and I'm like, you need to come home right now. You need to, I have something massive to tell you. And he's like, I can't leave. I just started this new job. Like I cannot leave. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm pregnant. And he's like, what now? And so he's like, go take two more tests and then call me back. And there was like almost no celebrating. It was just full on shock. And we, so I took two more tests and they were all positive. And so I called him back and I said, nope, it's real, you know? And he's like, okay, I'm going to need a little time to digest this information. We barely know these two children that are in our house. And now you're telling me you're pregnant.
So I will come
and talk to you.
If he almost passed out in the courthouse, I can imagine what he's doing
exactly,
on this phone call.
Exactly. This is just, you know, it's a bit of a hot mess. And so I was like, okay, well, you tell me when you're ready to talk about it. And so he comes home, he doesn't talk about it. He's not, you know, for like 2 days, we did not bring it up at all.
Wow.
And then finally we were able to just really soak it in and just, we let it hit us and we were so thrilled and so grateful. Just that it was this complete and total miracle we could not have ever anticipated happening. It was really wild. We told our families pretty much right away and, so it's just been, I mean, from that moment, like I could not stop crying. I could not stop like just being so overwhelmed by the fact that I get to do this. Like I get to do what I've always hoped for, in carrying a baby. And so it was just surreal and, a bit of a whirlwind. Yeah.
So I have a question, and that's because I'm sure
people
are probably wondering it. I'm in the space of probably my own, you know, assumptions about it is I believe it's all of it that contributed to you being pregnant. I believe it's a combination of, you know, the seen and the unseen and all of that. Is there any, did you do any exploring into, you know, physically, scientifically, medically, how you were able to become pregnant?
We haven't actually. My husband is convinced that that it's no longer an issue. We don't know.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, they had had us, like, they said that there was a possibility that he could have a surgery that would allow him to, like, that he was producing sperm, right, but they just were not exiting his body. And so we were going to have that surgery and everything, but then, like, all of this kind of, like, I mean, the foster care stuff just kind of put that on pause for a little while. And then we never did. And it still just, it still happened. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we fully believe that, you know, like I said, that we just were meant to have these girls. And and that was how our family was meant to form. And I'll be honest, like, there's a lot of emotions with that. Like, there's, you know, sometimes we have struggles where we wish that we would have gotten to do it like everyone else, where we get to ease into things a little bit more. And, you know, but they are just the best things that have ever happened to us. So it's really, you know, we're really, really grateful in the end of how it all unfolded. And we do hope to have more biological children. Someday we're going to take a little bit of a pause, I think, and still, you know, 2 years, well, yeah, since they came 2 years later, we're still kind of adjusting, but it's all good and all wonderful. So yeah, well, you know, sure.
Lene, I appreciate you being real and just sharing that, you know, there are times when you do wish you were able to ease into things a little bit more, because, you know, everything that you've shared from what you initially wrote in our conversations up until now have, you know, it's like, it's a beautiful blessing and it's something to be grateful for. And it is, right? And we all acknowledge that. And at the same time, a lot of stuff went down in a very short period of time. So, you know, I think for everybody listening, like, I think it's just really refreshing that, you know, you can just be honest and say, yes, we are grateful and it is a blessing. And still, you know, it's been a lot, and and we do.
It has been a lot.
Yeah, like at times we wish that we could have eased into it, because, you know, just with our journey, Sarah and myself, and so many of the people we talk to, it's like there are these amazing things that come and the amazing things that you experience, but there are also things that aren't as pleasant, stuff that sucks, stuff that is challenging, and, you know, to acknowledge both sides of it, I think, is very healthy.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't diminish the other. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I think, and you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, the parts that were hard were also blessings. And it's kind of this weird thing, because it's like, I didn't get to overthink my pregnancy in the sense that, like, you know how when first-time moms, they often, in wonderful ways, like, they're very sensitive to everything going on in their body. They're very sensitive to, you know, what's happening. And I kind of had to keep my head down and keep going. And it wasn't really an option. I didn't even really get to, like, have morning sickness. Not that, like, I did have it, but I couldn't really be down for the count, in a sense. So, like, there was a lot that I, you know, didn't end up focusing on. And in a lot of ways, like, you know, our son is very much a third child. Like, he's got that kind of personality, very easygoing, very roll with everything. And I think that's because, like, he, you know, he adapted even inside of me, and we've just rolled with the punches ever since. But yeah, it's definitely unique, because we're carrying our newborn baby to court houses and we're doing all sorts of appointments and meeting biological family, and, you know, at the very same time that we are adjusting to our brand new biological baby and, you know, all of this that entails. So it's really, it's definitely heavy and it's definitely hard, and our girl story is hard. And we don't want to diminish that. And then at the same time, like, it's weird because it's how our family was formed. And so, so we're also equally excited about it.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's a thing that, through your work and I imagine your husband's work, like, you get a chance to help and touch and impact so many people by what you've experienced, and be able to pass lessons on to others, because you do have a unique and beautiful situation. And I imagine that folks, when you do get a chance to talk to them, you know, in your doula work and everything, it's like, oh, yeah. Well, let me share with you this perspective on it, or let me give you this piece of advice because mm-hmm. I've experienced this and, you know, and this on top of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. So exactly. So
how did home birth enter the scene for you in the midst of everything else?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by trade, I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I worked in a hospital prior to having kids, and I never loved it. I never loved, you know, I always wanted to help people, but I didn't actually feel as a nurse that I was really helping many because I was mostly documenting and mostly in the midst of just a lot of stress. And it was just very, it was a very hard season for me in that work environment. And so I had a lot of trepidation when I was thinking about birthing in a hospital. I just felt very, just really uneasy about it. And like the beeping and all of the noises and all of the things and the medicalized everything, that I just didn't feel like that was where I would feel safest or most comfortable. And by nature, I'm just a very home-oriented person. I'm very much about the experience of things. And so I knew that if it didn't go how I hoped in a lot of senses, at least didn't feel how I hoped it would feel, that there would be regret. And having the story that we have, I didn't want, you know, we didn't know and we still don't know if he would be our only biological child. And so I was like, if I got one shot at this, then I'm going to do it how I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And,
get that.
My husband was a little nervous. I will be honest. He was so much more on board with like, let's just go check in, do the birth thing, check out, come home kind of a thing. And you know, what's all this planning for? But, you know, he was very understanding and very much like, I understand that this is something that you love and that birth is very important to you, obviously. So we ended up compromising on a birth center. And we have one about 40 minutes from our house. That was really nice. And we've had a lot of friends who've delivered there and they have great luck and it just goes really well. And so until I was about 20 weeks pregnant, we were doing all of our prenatals there and, pretty much had that as our plan. And then I don't know what happened. I cannot remember the real turning point, but I pretty much was like, they still had about maybe 8 or 10 midwives there and you still didn't really know who you were going to get for your birth. And for me, that was just a bit of a struggle because I really love getting to know people personally and wanted to have an understanding of who was going to be my midwife, delivering our baby. And so, so I kept just bringing it up slightly, kind of quietly, kind of trying to be, understanding to my husband and saying like, so if we're going to go give birth in a home-like environment, why not just give birth at home, you know? And, you know, why can't we just, instead of having to guess when we need to get there, why don't we just have them decide when to come to us, you know? And, like, just all those sorts of little things that I would just, you know, in a lot of ways, it's easier. And for me, felt more like natural to, toward the progression of labor, just of saying like, if I go into labor in the middle of the night, we don't have to drive anywhere. Like we can just be at home. And so over time between that and watching YouTube videos of home birth deliveries and watching The Business of Being Born with him and various things, he just kind of said, okay, like if this is what you want, let's do it. And so we did. We found a midwife who I felt really, really comfortable with. Really, she was just so safe. And so it was a two partner office. So we met both of them and we just really felt at ease. And yeah, we just, the rest is history as far as deciding on the home birth.
Mm. Got it.
It's powerful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah. Then what was it like in preparation for birth and then also having, you know, two kiddos and, you know, how were you planning that along with what you were envisioning for the birth?
Yeah. So it was kind of, I mean, obviously strange and unique in the fact that I had no idea what to expect as far as, like, I'm a doula, but you don't know what it feels like yourself.
Yeah.
And then also having toddlers, but having never given birth. And so, so we had to plan with, for the like logistics of having multiple children. So we had, you know, neighbors who were willing to take the kids in the middle of the night, and we had, in-laws who were going to come pick up during the day if that was the case. And I will say that we did not share that we were having a home birth with almost anyone. Mm. We come from a very medicalized family, and so we didn't want input as far as, you know, whether or not they felt comfortable with our choices. We just wanted to, we felt really at peace with what we had decided, and so we just left it pretty much at that. So really the only people who knew were my doula, my mom, and Dan. And so we had set up everything and just pretty much said, when we decide that we're going to the hospital, or like when labor really kicks in, could you take the kids, kind of a thing. Not really saying that the birth was going to end up being at our home. And so we kind of made all of those plans. It was definitely, and I will say, like, one of my favorite decisions that we made was that the girls would be away for about a week after the baby was born with family, with our families, so that we could get to be those people who who get to soak up that baby love, you know, that happens in that first week. And it was just so, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but it was really a precious time for us, and just was a really great decision that we could just, you know, we could just focus on him, you know, and us as a couple too, and what that, you know, what that means for, you know, a couple. Mm-hmm. So
the start to labor was interesting in that it kind of took a while, I guess, or there were some, you know, interesting moments. Can you walk us through, you know, when you realized labor was starting and then, you know, how birth flowed?
Sure. So, in true form of our story, we, it's kind of like hurry up and wait and then go. And so I had about 3 weeks of what I would call prodromal labor of just, you know, on and off contractions and tired and feeling like just done. And we had a very important court date for the girls I'm trying to think of my dates. It was on May 15th, which he was born on the 16th. And I thought that I would have had a baby by then. Like, I'm not going to go to that court date. It's fine. Like, my husband will go, we'll make it work, and I'll have had this baby. Well, I've learned since that your body kind of knows what you need, and knew that I needed to be there. And so I ended up being about 3 weeks late, for my original due date. And I had these lovely midwives who were totally okay with that. And so I ended up going to a court date, 9 months pregnant and contracting. And which is always a very stressful experience and things. And so that was, you know, just kind of funny on top of it. And then once it was over, literally, like, the verdict was read and it was declared that the girls would be with us, what looked like permanently. And I had a 5-minute long contraction right when that verdict was read.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was just this crazy thing of like, alrighty then, like, now it's time. And so I had discussed My midwives did not feel comfortable with me going much longer than a few more days after that point. And so we had talked a plan through. If I did end up making it that long, then I would end up taking castor oil to kind of get things rolling. And so I called them and I said, listen, like, I'm starting to have contractions that feel more real, more intense. And, but should I still be taking the castor oil? And they said, yes, just because we were kind of on a timeline at that point, before I would need to be induced in a hospital. And I did not want that. So I was like, okay, castor oil it is. Which I've, you know, you've heard all the horror stories of, and it really was not that bad. but so I took that, just one dose. And, that was in the evening. We put the girls to bed. We decided to go to sleep, and it was around like 8:30. I went to sleep, and by 11 PM things had pretty much hit, as far as contractions. Well, what I was calling waves at the time, were very intense, and I felt like I needed my husband's help, to get through them. And it was just moving right along. Like, I could just tell it was starting to feel really like overtaking. So I woke him up and we decided to let the girl sleep, that I would just labor, cause I didn't know how long it would take. But I would just labor until we didn't feel like it was a good choice anymore for them to be there, but they were sleeping well, so it was fine. By around midnight, it was getting even more intense, and I felt like we really needed to call, our doula and my mom. Those were the two people, and our birth photographer. Those were the people that we had planned on being here. My mom was like, I know that you guys often talk about who's your birth team going to be. And my mom is my most favorite person in the whole world. But my husband was nervous because, you know, her and I have such a strong bond that he was afraid that her being there would take away from him and my time together.
Yes.
And so we had kind of, we had really prepped her in advance and said, listen, like, I love you. I want you to be here and I want you to witness the birth of your grandbaby, but, this is still me and Dan's time together to, you know, to share. And she totally understood and was very receptive. And she was, the plan was for her to be kind of our, what anyone needed, she would help with. So like, she would make coffee and she would make food and she would bring wine. And she like had all the things that, you know, she had this whole list that was hers to kind of handle, making sure that everyone was good, making sure that our doula, you know, stopped and, ate, and that he stopped and ate, and that our midwives recovered, and, you know, just everybody knew what was up and she was kind of coordinating.
That's
and so that
great.
Was great because I had someone who knew my home, who knew me, who knew what I needed, but wasn't like, she wasn't all up in it
right.
all the time.
Yes.
And so that was really helpful.
I appreciate you sharing that, for those who are, you know, working on their birth team dynamics, or if there are some conversations to be had, how important that is to communicate and not just make some sort of assumptions that your mom would know all of that, or that she would just go with that and like fall in line. She might not know that. And, you know, how great for her to have you be clear on that. So now she knows, like, maybe she didn't want to do that and thought that's what you did want her to do. Like, who knows? You don't know what's going on in everyone's brain. So it's really great to get that out there beforehand, to just be clear on those expectations and the energy balance of everyone. Because if that's what you want in your birth and that's what you and, you know, Dan had decided on, then yes, because that is a very important moment and intimate time for you all. And if Dan wants to be involved in that sort of way, he should have that. And so I just really, I think that's awesome that you shared that. And it seems like it was addressed in a very mature, healthy way.
Yeah, and she was so receptive. Like, she wanted clear directions. I think that we presume that people just have these visions of what they want, you know, and we cater to that instead of like, no, this is our story, and we can decide where everyone fits and how all of the pieces play out. And ironically, it was amazing to have her there, and she was actually more involved than we originally anticipated when we asked her to be. Like, in the middle of the birthing process, like, she came My doula had just had a baby also. And so she needed to stop and breastfeed. So my mom would come and help out a little bit more, or, my husband needed a break, you know, it was got long and we had been up since 6 a.m. the day before kind of a thing. So it's like, you know, just, she was still able to be really there. And it was just great to have those boundaries set in the first place, because we could, you know, when we wanted to cross those boundaries, when we wanted to invite her in a different way, we could, but they were established in the first place that we didn't have to, if we didn't want to. And so that was just really, that was really key. And we have a really tiny house. Like, I should be very clear that our house is so, so small. And our bedroom was like just fits our bed. And so like we had all of these people all up in it. Like, it just wouldn't work to have so many people at one time in the room doing that. Like, it needed to be very clear where people were supposed to be.
So you mentioned you mentioned a long time there, so, kind of a little marathon action going on.
It was getting there. I mean, actually, things really progressed so fast. I went into active labor at 11 p.m. and by 1 a.m. our doula, our midwife, my mom was there. Everyone was like rocking and rolling. We had set up the birth tub in this little like nook that we have upstairs. And so that was getting filled and it was all going perfectly. It was so magical. We had candles lit and music playing, and I had set up all sorts of playlists for the different vibes I might want. And we even watched, like, in between when it wasn't quite as crazy and quite as intense, we watched, I don't know if you're familiar with The Backup Plan, the movie, and there's this funny home birth scene where they're like chanting and shouting and it's hilarious.
Have definitely and, seen it.
yeah. So we watched that just to laugh for a while and just really good. It was really sweet. And a lot of just time between Dan and I. So it was honestly pretty romantic, and yeah, it was really lovely. And so by around 6 or 7 in the morning, I was fully dilated. I was 10 centimeters. And so we thought, oh, this is cake. Not cake, as in it wasn't cake,
right, but you know.
But like, okay, this went a lot faster than I anticipated. The hardest part was that I had back labor. And so that was really, really, really intense. But the rest was very, it just had gone more smoothly than I anticipated. And so the girls woke up for the day and they were like, why is mommy, you know, shouting at times? and so that day they said, we have really cool pictures of them like staring at me. Like, what is going on here? Why is she in the big tub in the middle of the, you know, hallway? And so they go where they need to go. And my midwife was like, all right, if you feel ready to push, then let's go for it. And I didn't feel super, quote unquote, pushy at the time, but I wanted to give it a little bit of a shot in the birth pool. And so I did, and nothing was happening. There just wasn't a whole lot of progress being made. And so midwives are amazing, and they had every trick in the book as far as maneuver this way and put your rear in the air this way and, you know, move this leg to this direction and whatnot. And it just, things really were not shifting very much. So we did end up moving to the bed, which was not anticipated. I really expected having a water birth. Ironically, the most comfortable spot for me was on my back in a typical, like, what you see in the movies kind of birth pose. And I was not expecting that. It's not what you hear, but that was comfy for me. And that's where I felt like I could get the most strength to push. And so we did that for a while and would alternate between being on my back and then being on the toilet, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, you could see his head. This was about 3 hours later. And you could see his head, but it just wasn't going anywhere. And so they were like, you can keep pushing. And I was like, I'm going to keep pushing. Like, this is, we're going to do this at home. Like, I was so, so determined. Yeah. And so after 3 hours of him crowning, yeah, there was nothing else, no other positions, no other things that were going to fly. And so we had the conversation of, should we be transferring to the hospital at this point? Mm-hmm. I was really, really, really not okay with that. Yeah. But I was exhausted at that point. And it was like the middle of the day. And yeah, it just was, I was ready for it to be done. And so we called an ambulance and I had to walk down our stairs crowning. So that was really eventful. It was, yeah, that was something. And then kind of made a little bit of a show for the neighbors as far as getting out to the ambulance and things like that. But,
were they outside, like, watching because of the lights and everything?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Everybody was, like, saying hey, because we're, like, all friends. And,
oh, my gosh.
yeah, and it's, like, a city, so it's not, like, we live in the burbs and they could have come in a driveway. It's
Yeah.
So it was all good. It was all fine. By that point, I could have cared less and it was fine. And the ambulance people were so kind and very understanding. And my midwife went with us and my mom drove behind us. And yeah, they had me covered. I felt really safe. Mm. We had talked out the plan enough that I was not worried at all. I didn't care any longer about beeps or whatever. Yeah. It was just good. Like, we were just there. We had done the whole labor and pretty much the whole birth at home, except for the very last part. and so the hospital's like 5 minutes away and we got there. They got me into triage. They asked if I wanted an epidural. I was very surprised to why. Huh. I'm like, I can't even sit up.
Yeah.
They really wanted to push medicalized even then, even when I was crowning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so glad that I had a midwife I could trust to say, we don't need to do that.
Right.
And my husband was awesome at being just this really great advocate. He was like, no, she does not want that. Let's just get this baby out. Like, come on, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we get to the delivery room. I think this is a total of maybe 10 minutes since we got there. The doctor comes in and she was really sweet. And she's like, let me just see you try to push once during a contraction. So I did. And she's like, yeah, he's not budging. Can I use the vacuum? And so I agreed to that. And within one push, he came flying out with like the vacuum on. I mean, it was like completely rapid and threw him up on my chest and it was beautiful and magical and everything. He looked like a complete and total little alien and it was awesome.
Yeah, I was wondering, there had to have been some molding, right? With 4 hours hanging out there.
And he was like just hanging out right there. He had a massive cone head. He was pretty purple, but he wasn't. The thing was, is that, and he remains to this day to be the steadiest kid. Like, he never, ever, ever was in distress. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt very confident to continue trying to deliver him at home because his heart rate was 120 the entire time.
Wow.
He never changed. He was just on it. And so it was fine. Like, we could try as much as we could, but he just still wasn't coming. Come to find out at the end that the reason was because his fist was up by his head and his cord was wrapped around his neck three times. Wrapped around all of it, his arm and his head.
So that was a long cord.
Three times. Yeah, it was really long. So there was really no way he could have made that final little jump, I guess you could say, himself.
Right.
And he needed a little bit of a push. But it was really so wonderful to have him out, and it was, you know, just, it still was perfect. Mm-hmm. It still was perfect. And so, like, I was just on cloud nine. I couldn't even hear anyone talking. I was just, like, only focusing on him. I did not know at the time that he was a boy. We were being surprised, and I didn't even get to look, like, to see what he was. And so everybody's like, did you hear them say it's a boy? Did you hear? You know, and I'm like, what? You know, so it was really fun. And my mom got to be there and watch it. And my husband was just weeping and it was gorgeous. And then, yeah, the rest is kind of history. We announced his name, which is Lewis Daniel Wilder Crawl, and everybody was crying and it was wonderful. And then, and it was really cool too. Just another little side note of like being taken care of, being in the birth world. I have a lot of friends in the birth world, and one of my friends worked at the hospital and was on shift that day and was my nurse, to That's take care cool. of me and coach me through those final few pushes. And so it was like my doula couldn't be there, because she had a little baby at the time. And so it was just like perfect that I had this person to help me through it. And, you know, it just, everything was the way that I needed it to be. So yeah, that was really awesome. And the one I will say, like, kind of not my, I mean, going to the hospital was not my plan, obviously. Right. But you know, you make those contingency plans. Like you say, if I have to go to the hospital, then this, and this. Mm-hmm. And the one thing was that the doctor, who was pretty medicalized, like immediately cut the cord, immediately tugged on my placenta and pulled it out. And those were things that I had not hoped for. I was hoping for delayed cord clamping and for, you know, just letting my body kind of do what it needed to do as far as the placenta was concerned. And all of that did not happen. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I was bummed, but of all of the things that worked out in our favor, that was kind of minor. But yeah, it is still interesting how even when you have a plan and even all of that, like some people still won't listen. So it was just, yeah. Anyway, that's a side note. But all of that to say that we hung out in the hospital for about 24 hours. We kind of pushed to get home as quickly as we can. I, you know, made it very clear that I had a midwife who would be coming in and checking on us often. Mm-hmm. And so they were fine with letting us go a little bit early. And we got to have this, like, 3-4-something full days of just baby bliss, of just home, tucked in our beds, like, watching movies, sleeping, and nuzzling this little sweet boy. So, so yeah, it was really magical. And we still, you know, I think that was the part that I was saddest about, was that if we went to the hospital, we wouldn't get that immediate, like, tuck into bed, be in our own home, be in our own space. And we didn't get it as immediately, but we still did get that. And our midwives did check in really often. They came, like, the very next day. And then they came at day, like, 5, and then 2 weeks. And so we were able to really keep an eye on everyone and just recover. So, and get to know him. So it was pretty great.
Wow. Wow, wow. So family of 5 in less than a year?
Family of 5 in less than a year. So it was, yeah, he was born in May and the girl's year anniversary was in June. So it was 11 months total that they came. And now we are almost into year 2 with them. So it's just, yeah, it's been a whirlwind. It's been really crazy. And they, I mean, like, they love their brother so much. It is the sweetest thing you have ever seen. And he adores them. Like, we just, their relationship, when he was born, it really, I think it's kind of solidified everyone's place in the family a little bit. And it helped them kind of take ownership of the fact, like, he's our brother too.
Right.
And so everybody just settled in more when he came, and he's just always been such a gift and such a joy. Literally the happiest baby you've ever seen. I mean, he doesn't, like, you know, he still doesn't sleep through the night, all those things that people expect, but it's all good. Like, it's just, you know, when you roll with it, works out. So, but yeah, they are really great for each other. And we are just, yeah, we're crazy happy. So
you sound like it.
Yeah.
I can feel that energy coming through the mic.
Well, we are so grateful that you could take time to just share a bit of, you know, this whole whirlwind that you've got going on there and, you know, what you've been creating and what you've been building as far as your relationship with Dan and now as parents and your family and the dynamics of it and then your journey into birth. It's just all really amazing. I feel like we went on a huge, like, odyssey here with you today, just in terms of, you know, the whole thing. So I'm so grateful that you were able to, you know, illuminate parts of that so that I'm sure anyone listening right now got a bunch of different things that they can take into their own experience, you know, regardless of where they're at in, you know, conception, pregnancy, or motherhood. I feel like there's so much to glean from what you shared. So I'm just very grateful for you and your whole family. And just thanks so much for being here with us, Linnea. You are fantastic.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you so much. It's been such a joy. And yeah, you guys are awesome.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.